partly as well because this is a psalm which almost speaks for itself, and partly as well because I've been ill, so I haven't had much time to prepare. I was going to say I've been feeling sick, but then you'd all start talking about the rugby again, and it's nothing to do with that. I'm going to read to you Psalm 104 and then share five thoughts, and then we'll move into a time of worship of this great God, which David is writing about in Psalm 104. I was surprised when Simon chose Psalm 104, and then he allocated it to me, and he labelled it the Great Outdoors. And I thought, this is really intriguing. So I'm going to read it to you and then share, as I say, five quick thoughts. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. As we've just been singing, the Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent in that video that we saw, and he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the cloud his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour forth water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. Like the two very annoying pigeons that have been perched on the wall outside my bedroom while I lay in bed feeling sick, not about the rugby, because it's springtime. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers, and the land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for the people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes light, night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. And then people go out to their work, to their labor, until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed, to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. My meditation May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I counted up yesterday. There are 22 of the 150 Psalms that extol the God of creation. So in fact, Simon could have picked any one of those 22 and called them the great outdoors. He happened to pick 104, and it's an amazing psalm, which is why I invested 5 minutes of your time in me reading it. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We've heard this next one already this morning. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on through the psalm. God has created everything, the Bible is clear. It's a manifestation of his glory and his majesty and his splendor. And it's a reason for us to be able to understand what he's like and to praise him and to worship him. Psalm 89, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them, the north and the south, you have created them. Psalm 102, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of your hand. Psalm 104, we've just read, and it goes right through Psalm 147 near the end of the Psalms. He determines the number of the stars, as Karen said at the beginning of our service. He gives all of them their names. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the height. Praise him, all you angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars. Praise him in the heavens. Praise him in the water. Everything was created by him and will last forever and ever. As we hear in Colossians, and again we've already had that quoted today, it's Jesus who created all these things. It's him who sustains the whole universe, which is way beyond our understanding, and keeps it all going. I said I'd bring out five very simple and straightforward messages. Firstly, I believe Psalm 104 is a command for us to care about creation. Secondly, creation is a way for us to know God. Thirdly, God's creative activity explained in Psalm 104 brings an end to every argument, and I'll explain that in a minute. It gives us ground for trust, and it's a call to worship. You don't need to be a theologian to see that Psalm 104 echoes the first chapter or two of Genesis. First words of the Bible. If you find Bible verses difficult to learn, here's a Bible verse. In the beginning, now you know some scripture. In the beginning, God created. Now you know even more scripture. You know that most of you, that's how Genesis 1 starts. And then it lists how God created. He created the heavens and the earth, night and day, sky and sea, sun, moon, stars, plants, sea creatures and birds, and then next in order, the creatures of the land that move along the ground, and then finally, humans. Psalm 104 is not quite a mirror image of that, but almost exactly takes us through God creating in that way. And what does Genesis say at the end of the first chapter? God said, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and over the livestock and the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." Those three categories of animals again. The things that live in the sea, the things that inhabit the air, and the things that move along the ground. And God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. He did all this amazing stuff that's laid out in Genesis 1, that's explained in that psalm I just read, and he says, "And now, humans, will you look after it?" And by the way, I'm just taking a benchmark here before you start. I'm having a look at it, and it's all very good. Kind of implication, it will be good if you could keep it very good. I'm giving it to you to steward. And we haven't got time today to unpack all of that. But I think that we should take it seriously. What does it mean for us to have been created by God and then given this command? Here we are. It's all yours. Look after it for me. And it's starting off very good. It's a command, it's a call for us to think carefully about how we live. It's a command which has implications for the kinds of action that we support, for the way in which we spend our money, for the switch we've made from disposable coffee cups to washing up our own cups, but a myriad other things. And we can worship our Creator God and give honour to Him by the way in which we live our lives to leave the smallest footprint on His creation, to start to undo some of the damage which our species, our race, has been doing to His created order. There is a kind of whole year of messages on that, and there's a massive amount of working out of the implications of that, but I'll just drop it in and let you seek the Lord about what He's saying to you about that. Secondly, Scripture is very clear that the created order, described in Psalm 104, is a way of knowing God. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 1, says, "What may be known about God is plain to them," that's people who say that they don't know God, "because God has made it plain to them." This is Paul in his uncompromising mood. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." It's a very simple message. I said they were all simple, these five. If you want to know what God is like, have a look at what He's made, says Paul. Think, was it 200 billion stars? Or 2 billion stars? Think about that. How can that have come about if there's no God? Where did it come from? What? How come the whole of the created order that we see around us holds together in the way that it does? So creation is a very manifest way for people who wonder whether there's a God to wonder no more. For we who believe that there is a God and who have encountered Him to worship Him and understand more of what He's like. That's why I like the great outdoors, I suppose. I spend my time in an office, but I enjoy most the time I spend outside. And that can be from the tiniest thing. Yesterday in our garden, all the little crocuses around our washing line are out. And I was out hanging out the washing, even in my enfeebled state. And I just paused to look at these crocuses, these really nice looking flowers. And in our tiny back garden, in the middle of this amazing, infinite, endless universe, is a burst out of colour put there by God, the Creator. Thirdly, the creation is an end to every argument. Those of you who've read the book of Job will know where I'm going with this. So the book of Job describes the most horrible things that happened to the most godly man on earth at the time. And then there are 37 chapters of the book of Job, which involve him whinging and whining and wondering about what's happened to him. And then chapter 38, God says, okay, well, let's have a chat about it then. And He blasts this poor guy whose life has already fallen apart. And He says, right, I'm going to ask you some questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who marked off its dimensions? On what were its footings set? And who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? If you've got a question about me and what's happening in your life and why things have turned out like they have, God says to Job, give me some answers to these simple questions. And Job goes, oh, well, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And God just keeps hammering at him. That's just the beginning of chapter 38, and it just goes on and on, verse after verse. God says, well, tell me this, tell me that. And Job's going, no, oh, I can't, I give in. No, 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 bang, bang, bang. Job gets a little chance to talk in chapter 39, and then God starts again, whacking away at him. In the end, All of our struggles with God come down to the question of will we submit? And it's probably a pretty good idea to submit in the face of this all-powerful creator God who's made all of those stars and planets that we heard about, has made all of creation and has made all of us. The picture is supposed to be that this is God's trump card. It's not a very good picture, I'm sorry, but when I Google trump card, all you get today is pictures of an orange-haired lunatic who's in charge of the United States. There's a non-political statement. Fourth, although creation should bring an end to every argument that we have with God, on the very pragmatic grounds that there's no way that we can win. I remember a preacher saying that God had said to him, "You and I are incompatible and I don't change. What are you going to do about it?" And that's the message of Job. God says, "I'm the creator, I'm going nowhere. If you've got a problem, you need to think about what you're going to do about it." That's the hard message of creation. The great message of creation is that same God who created all that we're talking about is my friend, is my saviour, is there to help me in every situation. And Job gets this. His response in the end to this hammering he gets from God is, he says, "Okay, Lord, I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I give in, I surrender to your will, and I trust in your goodness for everything in my life." And that's a great place to be. And the psalmist says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And again, if you don't know any scripture and you don't ever learn a scripture, that could sustain you through your life. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." What more do I need? And the psalmist goes on to say, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." And quite honestly, that could carry you, that can carry me right through every situation that we face. The God who made the universe, the God who has always been, the God who always will be, the God who doesn't change, the God who knew how to make those billions of stars, the God who made every animal, every fish, every bird, the God who knows us by name, he is our help. Who then shall we fear? And Psalm 104 has some interesting tense changes in it, if you have time to look at it. A lot of it is about what he has done. He set the foundation. He covered the deep. He set the boundary for the sea. Well, that's great. But there are plenty of people who believe that there was a creator God who set things up. He wound it up like clockwork and he's leaving it to run its course. That's kind of helpful, but not very helpful, because he's not therefore now here for me. The God who made the universe has gone to sleep, having set it up nicely. Psalm 104 doesn't say that, because it then goes on to spend most of its time listing stuff that God does now, in the present. He waters the mountains. He makes the grass to grow. He brings the night. He feeds and sustains us. And it closes with what God will do. "The glory of the Lord will endure forever." The God who was and is and always will be is reflected in his creation. And finally, it's a call to worship. And if you don't feel like worshipping now, then I've failed in my preaching. Slam me in the feedback. I can take it. The God who created heaven and earth is my help. So the psalmist finishes by saying, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." It's a slightly different version. It's the version I learned when I was a young Christian, so it's embedded in my mind. "My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord." I've been praying this week about, okay, the church has got £32,000 deficit. What are we going to do? I opened up Philippians. It says, "Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord." I thought, I'd have liked it better if it said, "Don't worry, I'm going to provide £32,000, says the Lord, but whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will give praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice in the Lord. David Suchet is going to read to you. And then we're going to have a time of worship. Is that okay, band? David Suchet is going to read to you, if I can hold him close enough to the mic.
Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises, and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor, until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, he who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen.